Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we'll continue on in a message I began this a couple days ago, led by the Spirit. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were talking about Paul's focus and emphasis in writing to the Galatian church. And he was deeply concerned because they were in error in two specific areas. One is that obedience to the law as well as faith was the ground for the sinner's justification. And then secondly, someone that was saved, was a justified believer, they were made perfect by keeping the law. And he makes some startling claims to which many Christians today either gloss over or they don't really hear. Paul states clearly that justification is by faith without the law, without following the regulations of the Jewish customs, the things that were handed down by God to Moses, to his old covenant people. And the rule of the believer's life today is the law of grace. It's not legal. It's a perfect law of liberty. Let's see what Galatians says in verses 3:25. But after that faith is come, in other words, after Jesus came, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And that in verse 24, he says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And then over in the fifth chapter, verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so his coming, because he perfectly fulfilled the law, brought in a new covenant. That's what he was talking about the Last Supper. This is a new covenant in my blood. And sanctification is through the Spirit, not the law. Let's read a little bit more in that fifth chapter, going down to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, which are jealousies, emulations, divisions, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I told you before, and I've also showed you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And let me read verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Praise God. In Philippians, the second chapter, verse 12, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And in the fifth verse of Galatians 5, Paul writes, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And verse 6 says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything," which was required of the Jewish people as a mark of their covenant, "nor uncircumcision," the Gentiles, "but faith which worketh by love." Paul goes on to state that those who try to impose legalistic, law-binding attitudes and doctrines, that doesn't come from God. If it doesn't come from God, well, then there's only one other conclusion that we can draw as to where it comes from. Paul states in Galatians 5 and 7, "Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Verse 8, "This persuasion comes not of him that calleth you." Verse 9, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." In verse 10, Paul says, "He that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." In other words, whatever judgment we judge others by, we will receive our own pious judgment on our own heads. And he goes on to state in verse 12, "I would they were even cut off which trouble you." He uses some pretty strong words. And there are some well-meaning Christians today that are so busy watching out for other people's lives, they don't have time to get their own life in tune with God's will. They're bent on changing everyone to fit into their little self-established little mold of do's and don'ts. And I can say this not only of Gentiles, for example, who are trying to live a Jewish lifestyle in accordance with the commands of the law, or there are those who are very legalistic within the Christian church, various, you know, all the denominations we have. I thank God that he spared me from that. I probably would not have done very well, because Brother Glass was non-denominational, simply full gospel. He preached the word, the whole word for the whole man to the whole world. And he would share, sometimes some funny things come out in his sermons. He was, as a young man, he was definitely called of God, and in a very legalistic type of situation, at least in his younger years. And he was in a drugstore drinking a Coke. Those of you up in years, remember drugstores used to have a little soda bar, and some woman walked in and she said, "Brother Glass," I mean, that was practically the unpardonable sin, drinking a Coke. He said, you know, they would have their hair up in a bun, no makeup, sleeves down to their wrists, but they had the longest tongues in town. You didn't need a phone. It got around. And so, beloved, we can do all sorts of legalistic things, and that has nothing to do with the new covenant, the perfect law of liberty. I just shared on yesterday's broadcast, you want to read it? Read the fifth chapter of Galatians, the law of liberty, love, joy, peace. He goes on, against such there is no law. And so, for those that are, and you may be the victim of it, or there you may be not realizing that you're actually doing that. And anyway, people that are in that mode, they don't want to hear what God's word says. They won't listen. They're God's avengers, who they think have been put on this earth to correct and to make sure God does, or that the work of the church goes on correctly. And they're more concerned whether you watch a television program or drink a cup of coffee or a Coca-Cola or eat a piece of meat or certain foods than they are allowing God to run his own business. And the scriptures teach, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats." That's a general word for not just animal meat, but just meats and foods, certain foods, "which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." And many will put you down. Some of you listening have been put down with this kind of teaching or preaching, and they make you feel so little and insignificant. Going back now to being led by the Spirit, that every child ought to be hearing voices and be led by that little voice they're hearing instead of by the Word of God. And the fruit is, what do they what did their lives demonstrate? They're blind, they're unteachable, they're in scriptural error to teach people that they should be listening to voices, when first and foremost, every Christian should be listening to the only true voice, which is the Word of God. I can remember, again, this goes way, this is back in the 70s when I was a really young Christian, and there was, I mean, she was a sincere woman of God, and there were some that met in her home for prayer, and there'd be prophecy. Brother Glass called it coffee table prophecy, and this woman was used that way, and she was attending our services at the Latter-day Upper Room in Oakland, and she said that God told her not to prophesy in church. Well, beloved, that's the very place you need to prophesy, because then those who are mature can judge the prophetic word. And I remember Brother Glass, oh my goodness, shared once, there was some dear woman, I mean, she said something about the Lord was speaking, and he didn't want his people in confusion. He said, I know I get a, might confuse myself at times. I mean, some really hilarious things that have come out of people's mouths. I don't think the Lord does get confused at all. If we seek his wisdom, although I'm sure the Lord enjoys a good laugh, he probably has many reasons to be amused at his people. But beloved, the only true voice is the Word of God, and whatever guidance you have will be grounded in the Word of God. And when God's people get fully rooted and grounded in the Word, in God's Bible, His instructions to us, as sincerely and as deeply as God has ordained for them to be, then we will see the people of God come forth. They will be sensible. They will be correct. Their feet will be planted on the ground, having the mind of Christ. And beloved, even in recent years, I've been in places where it was foolishness. You know, it was supposedly the Spirit of God, but it doesn't, there's not confusion. I'm just so grateful for having the training that I did under Brother Glass, because he brought the presence of God and there was no foolishness at all. And I'm just thinking of sharing one, maybe, well, my time is gone and I have to bring this broadcast to a close. So a lot of stories that are really quite humorous. At any rate, I love you, and I invite you to share your prayer needs. The notes will give our contact information. If you email, I ask you to share your mailing address. I will always pray, always confirm, but there's more opportunity because I get so many emails that I can minister more effectively and personally through a letter. So I invite you to share your mailing address if you would like prayer. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.